Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening. It's Sunday afternoon, or Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and this is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. And today's hosts are Ronald Feynman and Wayne Johnson. I'm your producer, Gwen Berry, and get to the show, gentlemen. What do you got to talk about this week?
Well, let's start with Mitch McConnell and his switch around. All of a sudden, he's ready to back Trump when he condemned him just about 2 weeks ago. Unbelievable.
Well, that, and then, of course, the three-ring circus of a cult praising of golden idol Trump at CPAC in Florida, Orlando, Florida.
Right now, as we speak, he's talking, but they're not covering it, I'm glad to see, on CNN. They'll talk about it after, but they're not covering it on CNN and MSNBC. But, of course, Fox is, OANN is, you know, and the Max station and all the others, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's really come down to the Republican Party is nothing but a bunch of plutocrats and autocrats. They're payday politicians who have nothing in source or in care for but big business that supports them. And I thought a bunch of corporations were pulling away from them because of what went down on the 6th.
I think some are, but not, I don't know which ones. It's unclear. But meanwhile, they're claiming now that the Republican Party is a party of the white working class. Really?
That's not
true. I don't think that's
true. What it is the party of white supremacy.
Yes.
That's
exactly
what
it is.
It's the party of autocracy, cruelty, racism, fascism.
Religious fanatics.
Yes. Religious fanatics, yes. Are people that manipulate religion in order to put the blanket over the public to collect the pennies and nickels of the people who buy cat food to survive on. And
on my blog, I wrote CPAC, a group of white supremacists and evangelical Christian extremists, not conservatives. They're really not conservative, traditional conservative.
No.
They're more like fascists, you know.
They are fascists. There's no real conservatives in national politics on the Republican side, save maybe a few that are trying to get heard, and yet have been, you know, it's like Liz Cheney said at CPAC, you know, Donald Trump shouldn't be here. This is not who we should be following. And everybody's like, you know, boo you, honey, boo you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, damn, her father knows where the bodies are buried. Why didn't he start doing a little retaliation on that end? I mean, it's
That's
terrible.
Right.
Yeah, I gather he was going to in his speech. I don't know if he has. Trump was going to condemn Liz Cheney by name. Boy, that's.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were already doing that anyway.
That's going out there. But, you know, I do think somehow in the end, it's going to be a very, very big, wonderful flag for her to fly for herself in the future. I do. I really do. Because those Republicans who are showing some kind of integrity, some kind of care for the constituency, some kind of responsibility for their national position as leaders, those folks are, you know, and there's not many in the group at all. And until the Democrats grow a set, I don't know if it's ovaries or it's stones or what it is, it's, you know, as you like it, per gender, until they grow them, like AOC or the progressive people in the party. Now, there are some leaders who are saying, boy, this is, they are saying it loud and clear and right into the microphone when they get a chance. Bernie Sanders, who's an independent, not a Democrat. But all of them, from Warren to AOC to all of the women of color that are sitting in the Congress, I mean, and in other positions of national leadership right now, who are true progressives and who are saying, you know, these guys they're the enemy. And until you really see that they are not, and to be chumped by them with, oh, well, we'll come back with our own package and back and forth and back and forth. BS. Don't even do it. Don't listen to that a-hole that's telling them, the Senate manager who's telling them, oh, you can't put it in the bill. Screw them.
Senate parliamentarian, yeah.
Yeah, screw them.
You know what gets me is even with Manchin, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, he's against $50 minimum wage, even though the Republican governor of West Virginia is for it. That's what really gets me. And also, $15 is by 2025, it goes up by stages. It's not immediately $15.
Right. Right.
4 years from now. So why is this such a big deal for anybody to say, okay, within 4 years it should go maybe 11, 12, 13? I don't understand.
Well, I'll tell you real quickly. It goes against their corporate donorship and their corporate base. What are you, nuts? This is about money. Follow the fucking money every time down the street. La, la, la.
Well, I understand that. But, I mean, we're talking about 4 years from now to have 15, not immediately. So, jeez.
Yeah, but it's all about, basically, look, it's no different than the non-union coal mines in West Virginia, which I'm old enough to actually see some of those. It's all about economic enslavement. If I can keep that party in control that keeps that minimum wage down to $7.25 an hour, which is, you know, that is a non-living wage, that's, you know, and even a kid in high school working at a burger joint, that's not paying his car insurance, the gas into the car, you know, for that car, for him
to save
him
for college,
and the college, try to get a college education off of that. That is not in that kind of money.
Yeah, the last time I think it went up was nationally was 2007. After 14 years and allowing four more years to go up to 15, that's not acceptable. It makes no sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, again, economic enslavement is what it's all about.
You know, the truth is that the Democrats have an opportunity here, and they got to take it. And
I think they will separately pass a bill, and it'll become law. But again, it will be slowly up to 15, not immediately. Some corporations might do it immediately, some are, but it'll still be a dragged out thing. And by 2025, I think 15 is not going to be enough.
Yeah.
Well,
you've
heard me often, and Professor, you and I are a conversation, Gwen too, and other places that I've commented on, the progressives have to take the fight to the Republicans. You are in a battle. Recognize that you're in a battle. Don't reach out and try to negotiate with these white supremacists. You know, that's just a losing cause right there.
That's the party of white supremacy.
Exactly, and that's just an exercise in futility. It's an exercise on a sure way to lose out. Take the fight to them. Have your values, stand for it, and then fight for them.
And anything Senate side that Mitch McConnell says is a goddamn lie coming out his mouth on the rollout. It's a lie.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lie, and it's always going to get twisted, and it's always going to get pushed back, and he lies constantly anyways. They all do. And not only Republicans.
No, you're right. You're right.
Mostly Republicans. And then you got the sanctions to Saudi that are Jesus, hit them with a wet noodle, why don't you, there, Biden?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's an atrocity in itself. I mean, and the fact that he has not made one move about an American journalist, that and where are the sanctions that should be cutting the rocks off of Russia? The Russian, not the Russian people, but the Russian economy that Putin depends on. Because that's another country, if nothing but plutocrats and you know, backroom gamblers who get to call all the
Russian
money.
Well, the Russian mob is what's running it. The old KGB / Russian mob have teamed up. That's the government of Russia.
But the point is, our government right now has the opportunity of pushing things through. There are a few Republicans, maybe one or two Republicans, that'll take up the slack for the Joe Manchin and vote and then Harris come in and make it so to break the tie. Jeez, what a cock up this is.
Like on the $15 minimum wage, there's some who think Lisa Murkowski is open to maybe supporting it. So maybe she'll replace Manchin.
You can't trade parity, you know, one for the other. That's not a game, you know. You need to bring that one on and keep the one that you have. Like I said, the Democrats have a very small lead and advantage. They need
seats in the House and no seats advantage in the Senate except for Harris, yeah.
But this has all got to go through both houses.
The truth is that we needed a ramrod in the Oval Office, and we don't have one in the Oval Office. And the only thing that's kept us above board and not completely down the drains through this whole catastrophe since Obama left office has been one woman whose heels clicked through the Congress, back and forth, shaking and shaking her fist and making it happen strategically, and that's Nancy Pelosi. She's the only one with a set going on in D.C. right now in the Democratic Party who's willing to stand up and fight and say what she means and to warn the public. Well, these people are not going to know. They're crazy. She called out Trump for who he was quickly. She calls out McConnell, you know.
And Kevin McCarthy is a disgrace.
Yeah, and she is the only one who has done that, that has any power to wield, mind you, on the Democrat side. And Kamala Harris is relegated to sitting beside somebody in the Oval Office, when frankly she should be sitting in the chair.
Well, but you can't.
In my opinion.
Yeah, but
I know. I'm renegotiating the election as
well. I think Trump's already cornered that market. You know, we can't go there.
I'm SOL on that. I get that.
Yeah,
you know, I don't bother to watch the news anymore, guys. I read, but I don't watch the news anymore. What's the point? It's the same old story, even though there's a curtain of a mass extinction event behind the whole thing. And they are still, you know, and I do give this administration credit for doing their best, but they're doing it in the old fashioned DNC machine way of not getting it done. Basically, and compromising and hemming and hawing and talking about bi-friggin' partisanship. Well, honey, that boat sailed away from the dock and pulled the dock with its stern line all the way out to sea years ago.
Well, one thing I want to point out, though, is that Joe has not compromised on the $1.9 trillion bill in any way. So he has got no votes in the House. He may not get any in the Senate. But as long as they don't have the $15, you know, minimum wage, they should have 50 votes and Harris break the tie. So he's really not giving in on anything to the Republicans. He's just talking about bipartisanship, but they're not doing it.
Yeah, well,
I think the last time I ever saw any bipartisanship was when Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, basically when Ronald Reagan came in with his big tax cuts first year, and then he realized in 2 years, he said, "Oh, I don't have enough money to run the government here. I mean, we're in a deep shithole here." And he went to Tip O'Neill and said, "You know, well, I need to raise taxes, right?" And Tip O'Neill says, "I'll get you the Democratic votes, but I want some Republican votes in there so it doesn't look like, oh, see, there's damn Democrats. There's Texas spend Democrats. There's taxes spend Democrats. Get that chain going again." So I want Republicans in there, too, to make it bipartisan. Reagan agreed with him, and they made sure that they had Republicans and Democrats to raise the taxes.
Yeah, well, that's just like in the 60s. Everett Dirksen went along with LBJ on civil rights. For, you know,
right.
He made a deal with him. That was also important, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true, too. So that was Reagan and Tip O'Neill.
Yeah, well, that's more recent.
We're long past that. These guys are running the country right into the ground, and digging every little piece of gold they can find out of it and sticking it in their sacks and getting ready to jump ship. That's basically how they're operating.
Oh, absolutely. I was just telling a good friend of mine, I had dinner with him. He's a regional sales manager for FedEx. And I said, you know, this big tax breaks and running up the deficit and stuff. And I said, that tax breaks didn't cause any prosperity. If anything, raising the deficit, which just means we're going to print more money, but those on fixed income, you have to value that money, and those in fixed income just saw their buying strength of the retirement dollars they have diminish. I give the example, I have a nephew who's in the lumber industry or contractor sales. Now, beginning of the summer, the materials to basically build a very modest house was $40,000. That's just lumber and wood and stuff like that, not fixtures. By the end of the summer, in 3 months, this is in the Trump administration, that $20,000 jumped up to $40,000 for the exact same lumber materials. That's a 100% increase in 3 months. Did your dollars increase 100%?
They're running it into the ground. They're not bringing anything
back
into infrastructure. They're not investing in people. And by the way, gentlemen, have you seen the unemployment numbers since COVID? Have you seen the numbers?
Well, go ahead, elaborate,
small
and I'll follow
business.
Up with my statement.
Small businesses that have closed in the hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
In this country, that's where the economic engine runs in this country, and it's perklunkety down.
Agreed.
It is.
Pastor Glenn,
the only place
the
it's running is with entrepreneurs who are working, frankly, from home over the net, and they screwed up the post office. So
well,
GD
that,
and Biden hasn't done anything about fixing that problem yet.
Well, I think
they
he's just appointed three people to the postal board. They have to decide whether to get rid of DeJoy. He can't.
Right. They're the ones, right. Biden can't get rid
patience.
Of three.
Only 39 days, remember.
Right.
Patience is anything we can afford right now. We can't afford patience.
Again, it's only 39 days, so you have to have a little longer than that.
Right.
What
was
it say? Rome was not built in a day, was it? What is it saying? What is it saying about Rome was...
It did.
A week, maybe, whatever it was. The point is, it takes time.
It didn't fall in a day either. It fell through a couple of emperors.
I know.
And we're basically watching the same action going on. And it's not just America. It's happening in other democratic capitalist countries right now, like our allies.
Yeah.
Economically. The engine is with these autocratic, corporate, you know, anchored, run it to the ground, idiots in leadership.
I like giving the example. You're talking about the banking system or the small business failure. It's not only small business, but those who have large loans for malls. The malls are failing because they're not collecting the rent from the small business owner in the malls to pay their rent. And now all these people, car payments, people have car loans, they have house loans, they have this small business loans, and then all the way up to, you know, commercial buildings that count on businesses to be renting their space. There's loans on that. Malls. All the little individual shops and stuff where businesses are failing, they're not paying their rent in their spaces in the malls. We are seeing a coming to you of banks with defaulted loans are going to be in financial trouble, just like it be in 2007 with Bush and Cheney when they allowed the banking industry to just go unchecked. They were writing loans that they knew. They were making bets that they knew that these loans were going to fail, and they made money on that.
Well, you know, the thing is that basically we're watching a real estate boom go on right now. People are bugging out of the urban areas, and they're buying up in more gentrified and countrified areas. Lots of people are doing that right now. So there's another fake boom of real estate, and people's property taxes and land values are being incorrectly boosted, accelerated, just the same way as it happened in, 07 and 08.
Well,
I mean,
and that, the thing is,
and that's
when,
because Obama took
suffer,
Warren out of the policy making in that and sent it back over to Wall Street.
When when they waived the working middle class left the cities for the suburbs, and then they left the suburbs for the more gentrified out in the farther stuff. They're putting a stress on the whole infrastructure system. We're talking about roads. We're talking about traffic highways, trucking and stuff. Those secondary roads were not made for tractor and trailers. They fail from the weight and the constant weight in the traffic. So, there's an aspect of that. And that's not being upgraded. How many people really need high-speed internet, especially with, working from home? Your kids are now having to be educated from home because of the COVID-19. And there's plenty of areas, like where my farm was, I couldn't even get cable TV out on that farm. It was a beautiful place. The infrastructure wasn't there.
Wow.
Well, it's true, but we do need to have the infrastructure, especially for Wi-Fi and high-speed internet out to every place. And whoever develops that in a wireless fashion is going to be the new, Elon Musk or Steve, Jobs. Or,
yeah, there's going to have to be. Well, that was one of the things when I was the late 90s, the 1990s, the big boom in the telecom datacom. This is when everybody's getting cell phones. Cell towers were going from analog to digital, things like that, and there was a boom on that. Well, in 2000, then technology changed, and they had an excess of the old infrastructure. The United States was even having to bastardize the digital signal so that it would work with, or their old analog phone signal, so it could work with the new digital stuff. But countries like China, Indonesia, all the developing countries, they didn't have the old Ma Bell phone on the wall, copper wires running to your house and stuff. They leapfrogged directly right into the digital cell phones and cell phone towers. In the 90s, early 2000s, the United States of America, as far as technology of cell phone and phone infrastructure, we were third world behind the curve. And that's what we're dealing with today. We're still behind the curve in that high-speed internet.
Hopefully we'll move ahead this administration. I hope so.
Well, that's where the money's got to be spent. That's where it's needed. Look, it's just like Eisenhower, where he knew that a massive intercontinental highway needed to be done, big highway building project. It created good jobs. It had good insurance for the employees. A lot of it was union help because they were contractors and equipment operators and stuff. And they built probably one of the best highway systems in the world at the time. They saw the need. They reacted to it. And, this country prospered because of it. And
it's just as Lincoln did with the Transcontinental Railroad 100 years earlier.
Yes, that's right. That's a very good, another good example. Well, basically, we have to take that same mentality, but it's got to be the digital highway. We're talking about internet, cell towers, communication.
Yeah.
And we have to have a better grid as far as power, after what happened.
that is my wheelhouse, as you know, Professor. Matter of fact, Glenn, I don't know if I've told you this. I might have made mention of it, but this past week, there's two large photovoltaic arrays going up in the outside of D.C. in what we call Southern Maryland, and I'm working on the preliminary plans and prospects of where to hook these photovoltaic solar arrays to the infrastructure grid. the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country in general. Well, Texas is just a damn basket case because they had the most bastardized, underrated electrical infrastructure grid, and you saw it suffer with just a snowstorm, or an ice storm, I'm sorry. But there is a big push, and that's capitalism's pushing this, is to upgrade the electrical infrastructure grid across the country, incorporating the cost savings of the green energy. Photovoltaic cells, wind panel power, produces electricity cheaper than any other form going, and it is stable, it is reliable. In Texas, when everything else was failing, the gas, the coal, the nuclear energy, it was the windmills and photovoltaics that supplied 20% of the electric in the state of Texas. That is a true factual statement.
Texas is definitely a state that needs to go blue, you know, over time, but it's taking a lot of time, you know.
Well, that one thing is what the problem there is again, big money, the plutocrats, the hydrocarbon industry is so embedded there that basically it's going to take three sticks of dynamite to blow their ass out of power.
Oh, gosh. And because the old saying is, it's true, if Texas was to go blue in presidential elections, the Democrats would never lose the election.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too.
That's and electoral vote.
One thing I will say that's that is a positive note is we're allowing legal immigration back in. They have, I just saw where they found another, like 500 children who've been in cages.
Yes.
Right, they have found their parents and returning those families back together again.
That's really
and
wonderful.
And that is something that goes right down to the core of my soul, as you know, Professor.
Of course,
you know,
I absolutely agree with you. And yet there are people who don't care about that, which infuriates me, you know.
Yeah, that's, well, there's people
you,
are worthy.
Can you gentlemen hear me?
Yeah,
okay,
I hear you now,
started.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got cut, I've got thrown off my own show again and had to call.
Oh, jeez. You need better infrastructure. Telecom infrastructure. Harden the system.
I
was starting to think you were taking a nap.
Yeah. Professor and I kept the show going.
No, I.
Well, go
I'm
ahead,
taking
Gwen.
A nap. No, I don't even know. I don't even know what you're talking about. I've been out in the ether land for about
five
minutes.
We talked about the abomination and the comical, clownish joke that was Texas's electrical infrastructure grid. That was all, basically, it was bastardized by Enron. That's why people were seeing electric bills all of a sudden jump up to 10. One woman even showed a bill of $17,000.
No, yeah, that
like
really has no, I would hope not. That's crazy.
You're right, right. And a lot of people had direct withdrawal from their checking accounts. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, you're overdrawn. Well, yeah, I wasn't expecting, $15,000 to be yanked out in 3 days.
Unbelievable. I hope there's some justice for those people, boy.
Well, again, it's not the way the laws were written. The law was not in their favor.
Oh,
and that
God.
Was Enron. That was Enron's doing.
And that goes back to the 80s, to the Reagan era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cold, cruel world out there, isn't it? It's been snowing forever, no England too. But I guess they're getting rain and they're getting. The snow to melt now up north a bit.
Right.
It's I don't know, guys. we do our best. We fight for the causes we think are right. We turn out, we turn up, and still we're having a hard time getting past the old machine. You know, and it is a machine. It is a machine. And the machine is still winning, you know.
Well, I'd rather be more optimistic than that. I still say it's too short a time to make a judgment.
Well, you know, first impressions are always lasting ones, and they have been politically too. So,
yeah.
I'm beginning to wonder, you know, just how far we're going to get in this 4 years, you know. And
well, imagine if Trump won. Look at it that way. Would they imagine if Trump was in his second term now?
Well, I'll tell you something. This might sound harsh, but if he were and things ratcheted up more, there'd probably come a crash and burn, which there still could, one way or another, but a crash and burn that might do us good. What was it Jefferson said about the Tree of Liberty?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, but too many people would be harmed if that happened. That would not be good.
I agree with you. I do agree with you on that. I don't wish harm. I just wish for change to take place especially when it's been, you know, put on the table before us to gather our vote. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Well, here's another bit of news from my area of the country. The city of Annapolis has just filed a lot of lawsuits against the oil industry, the hydrocarbon industry, because we are seeing, well, the Naval Academy, their bulkhead, for the sea rise from the Severn River, they had raised it up 2 feet, and that was like a couple years ago, and it's still having issues with flooding downtown Annapolis and the Naval Academy grounds itself. So the little boy in the dike in Denmark, situation's just not working out real well here in Annapolis. And they are suing the hydrocarbon industry for, number one, they knew back in the Reagan time, they got the memos, the emails, that said man-made global warming is a concern. You know, we need to start addressing this. But when they said they wanted to start addressing it was they hired the same marketing firms that made people believe that cigarettes did not give you cancer, to shred doubt that, you know, nicotine was not an addictive substance, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And they hired the exact same marketing firms that said man-made global climate change is not real. The science is not there. We're disputing the facts, you know, things like this. And because they knew from their own memos that they were guilty, just as the guy turned over the papers on the research that he did saying the cigarette companies were manipulating the nicotine content to raise the amount of sales and stuff just because of the addiction aspect of nicotine. The oil companies
doing
the same thing.
Well, you know, I wonder, you know, Ron, you're right. We should have a more positive outlook. What is your positive projection? And you've studied presidents for a long time. You know a lot about Democrat leadership. What is your positive projection?
I think things are going to be much better the next few years. I really think so. I think the economy will improve. I think COVID-19 will no longer be as big an issue by the end of the year. And I think he has an agenda, our president, of not only reversing everything that Trump did, and he's been doing a lot on that for the first 39 days, but I really think that we're going to see him being seen as the president who accomplished the most since Lyndon Johnson in domestic affairs. I really think so. Maybe I'm crazy.
With what steps?
Go ahead.
What's that?
What steps is he going to take to make that happen?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot done on the environment and on consumer legislation, which, you know, we had under LBJ. I think there's going to be a lot on civil rights.
Do you think we're going to get a Green New Deal?
A modification of it, not the complete Green New Deal, but I think we're certainly going to move a lot further than we would if he had not been elected. I think civil rights, and also I think our Attorney General, Merrick Garland, will really go and crack down on a lot of these different abuses of power. I think it's a really good choice. I think our Interior Secretary, Holland, who's a Native American, who my son is thrilled about and knows her, that it's really going to be a good time in that area. I mean, I think in a lot of areas we're going to see a lot of progress, but of course a crucial thing is the midterm elections, which worries me, because usually when a president gets in, his party loses seats in the midterm, and in this case, with the even Senate and just a small margin in the House, the Democrats cannot afford to lose seats. That's the problem. If they lose control, then everything is going to stop dead in its tracks. So that's the concern, to make sure we do enough to convince voters to, you know, to elect more Democrats so that we have more than just 50-50 or 10-vote lead in the House.
And there's states, there's Republican states like Georgia. That Republican-controlled state is now passing a law where they did have voting on Sunday. So the black...
You know, they're changing the rules. So is Arizona and other states. It's ridiculous.
Right.
It should not be allowed.
They would get together, they would have their church services, and then they would all march in one big line to go down and vote on Sunday. So I have to church.
Well, gentlemen, we do have a caller. Go ahead, caller.
No, it's lovely to be listening in. I'm just sitting here listening. It's one of those wonderful cocktail parties in which the person who arrived last gives her coat and hat to the nice maid and butler and tiptoes in the back and helps herself to the nice buffet of cheese crackers. And Branson, could I have a gin martini, extra olives? I haven't had any salad today, so that'll be my green course. Go ahead. I'm listening to the nice gentleman and Gwendolyn talk about politics. When they get to gardening, I shall help out. But until then, I'm going to listen.
Well, and also, too, Sybil, I'm going to be glad to letting you know that I will be joining your show tomorrow, too. I enjoyed last week. That was fun.
And we were thrilled to have you come in, and you didn't come in late. You came in on time, and we're very nice and very excited. We were very excited to have you. I'm enjoying the conversation. Go ahead, gentlemen. Please continue.
Okay. Well, okay. The other thing was the voter suppression by the Republican Party is in full mode swing. That's the only way they can win. They're even trying to prevent black people who traditionally down there in Georgia would have their church on Sunday, the preacher be done, then they would all go down to the polls and cast their vote on that Sunday afternoon, 1 to 3. And that's the amount of votes that they're trying to stop, because that's what decided that election and gave Biden the majority, the slim majority in the Senate.
But they also did win the 2 Senate seats, remember, in the runoff.
That's what I was saying. It was the for Georgia to lose those 2 Senate seats.
One of them is coming up in 22. Warnock has to run again. It's only in 22 years till he has to run again. And now David Perdue is not running, the one who lost his seat. And the belief is it could be Marjorie Taylor Greene could be his opponent. I was assumed that would mean that he would win. But can you imagine that monster Marjorie Taylor Greene being the Republican nominee for senator?
I hope her husband's getting a lot of STD tests, because all the men that she's been through screwing out on him, committing adultery. I'd be very cautious and see what kind of second growth is coming on my penis.
Digressed into, oh my goodness. And right now, while we're having this conversation on air, Donald Trump is ripping the backbone out of guys that have basically, like Kevin McCarthy and people who've actually knelt down towards him, because he didn't get what he wanted. I mean, what? How do you run
he's
a party?
Criticizing Kevin McCarthy right now?
Hey, he's apparently not being very very nice.
After he went to Mar-a-Lago and bent the knee and whatever else you want to say.
Did any of you people, did you folks ever watch I, Claudius on PBS many years ago, back in the 80s?
I, Claudius
was this, it was done by the British Masterpiece Theater, and it was, very briefly, it was done on a budget of $11. Rome
that's
was
the
built
wage.
Out of,
they're talking about starting to raise it.
Rome was built, literally, the sets and cost, the scenery, the columns, everything about the Imperial Palace of Rome, it went from Augustus Caesar up through Nero, and Claudius. So it was based on Robert Graves' book, I, Claudius, which was very briefly for the home audience. It was Robert Graves loves history, and he surmised, he made it an assumption based on the histories of Tacitus and Suetonius that the strange number of deaths around Julius Caesar and then Augustus and then on and on and on, the number of people that were gotten out of the way of their government. Here was the center of European culture and civilization, the most extraordinary culture, right? And it bumped up against Cleopatra, okay? So she was a player. You know, they were talking about the golden age of both Rome and then Egypt and the whole Mediterranean. It was strange how all of these people in charge and their senators and their congressmen and everything were dying left and right, left and right. And he came up with this murder mystery, this Agatha Christie murder mystery supposition, that perhaps someone behind the scenes was arranging murders and poisoning people and having them assassinated so that she could keep her hand in. It was Livia Caesar, Augustus's wife. And this was what he was wondering, okay? So this was made into a series, and again, it was made by PBS and by Masterpiece Theater, and all of the famous actors, Patrick Stewart was in it, and God, everyone but Judi Dench was in it. I mean, everybody, everyone British who's old enough was in it. So when you see, John Hurt was in it. So when you see it in reruns, or if you dial it up, because it's on pay-per-view, you'll see all of these actors that we have won Oscars and everything, but were kids. They were like 25-year-old Shakespearean actors that the British had cast. And it was done, like I said, for a budget of $11. You look at it, and the columns of the palace are made out of paper towel tubes and stuff. It's the junkiest series with the most beautiful writing and acting. The reason I bring it up, because of that writing and acting, is that Caligula, played by John Hurt, is a quintessential sociopath. He is literally Hannibal Lecter. There are rumors back then that he not only killed his sister, who he had impregnated, but disemboweled her in her eighth or ninth month of pregnancy, took the baby and killed and ate it because he believed he was a god and that he had to consume his own child to maintain his divinity and everything. So this is a man who was a serial, and we still don't know why there was so much insanity. Was it their lead plumbing? Rome was, you know, had lead plumbing. They were eating food that was contaminated with arsenic. Who knows what it was? My point being this. Every episode with Caligula, he would play different allies against different allies. He kept playing senators against senators. Every week, everyone was terrified that they would be on his wrong side this week because they hadn't praised his singing enough or his theater piece where he played a woman or he made his horse a senator or all of these different things that he was doing that were psychotic. He made a beautiful horse of his, a senator. So, and all of these people around him kept tiptoeing around the psychopath. And the only ally he had was his Praetorian Guard, which was this select, you know, very, very prestigious fraternity of, you know, quasi-homosexuals and S&M, you know, bodybuilders and everything who were adorned with the most beautiful armor. They were wearing, you know, gold-plated armor and everything. And they were his bodyguards, his inner circle of bodyguards. And they were his assassination squad, not unlike Hitler's brown shirts versus the black shirts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have a person who is a psychopath who we're still waiting to get Putin's film of him eating a child or, you know, being urinated on by dogs or whatever. We still haven't had it. And what I'm hoping is that we have that magic moment underneath our Circus Maximus where our Praetorian Guard finally is so exhausted by his psychopathy, right? Because eventually he had so many people around him who were allies murdered. He kept playing people off. No one was safe. That the Praetorian Guard finally said, "Oh no, you've gone too far," and they stabbed him to death underneath the Colosseum on the way back to the palace. And his last words were apparently, "But you can't do that. I'm a god. You know, you can't." And they were disemboweling him. They literally mutilated him with swords. They stabbed him in the groin and tore him to pieces. I'm wondering how long we're going to continue to be enthralled to our deodorant, our Saran wrap, our you know, our electric lights, our Starbucks, you know, caramel macchiato, all the trappings that keep us comfortable, oh so comfortable, and we finally, someone is going to finally finish this problem once and for all. This inconvenient problem, and take care of it once and for all. And if necessary, his friends and, you know, people that are standing next to him that are unfortunate enough. Mitch McConnell, I'm wondering how much longer before his wife, Fu Manchu's daughter, is going to call up and say, my husband has Alzheimer's. I don't know what he's thinking from one 24-hour cycle to another. He just dismantled Donald Trump in front of the world, insulted him and accused him, and turned around and within minutes did not, you know, vote against him, did not indict him, and then said that he would support him as president. This is, what is that? That either requires electric shock therapy or an axe.
I'm hoping that God intervenes and gets rid of Donald Trump for us sometime soon, because he's a nightmare.
God intervenes?
Why not?
I forgot to close.
So it's time for him to go.
I forgot to close my statement with the prosecution rests, my lord. I should have said the prosecution rests, my lord. It's like I don't understand.
You gave a beautiful version of what Mary Trump said this morning with Ali Bilski.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, there's nothing for it but to just have his head, and that's it. You know?
Hey, look at that golden image of Donald Trump at the CPAC conference.
That was genius. And the fact that they would be caught wheeling it in, him wearing, a golden diaper or culottes or something, and they wheeled it in. All I was waiting for was for Edward G. Robinson to be coming up in a toga, like what he did in Ten Commandments, and go, Moses, who the hell is Moses? You know, it's like, and where was the earthquake that swallowed the statue? And then all of them, as they took those, you know, Cecil B. DeMille poses and fell into the fiery pit with the golden cap. Okay. It's like they literally, we are, gentlemen and lady, we are witnessing, we are witnessing revelations. He is the beast.
This is bizarre. I mean, this beyond any kind of comprehension. Well, the closest thing is the famous book, 1984, The Newspeak, you know, don't believe what your eyes and ears are telling you. Believe what I'm telling you. Yeah, that's all fake news. Reality is fake news, right? And reality has a liberal leaning, right? Listen to me because I speak for conservatism. You know, that kind of dumb shit.
Well, you know what I found shocking, though, today is in that poll about who they wanted for 2024. Okay, he won 55%, but who's second? Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. Is that not crazy?
It's just insanity on wheels. That's what it
21% for him. Everybody else, 4% or less. Why Ron DeSantis? And Mike Pence.
Yeah, I know.
And Mike Pence suddenly just forgot that he was being threatened because of Trump. I don't understand Mike Pence either, you know?
The whole thing, I don't read the Bible, you know, I've read it cover to cover at some point. And, you know, I've read different parts of it out of curiosity and everything. But I do feel that I have to go back to Revelations because I'm convinced that Marjorie Kelly Greene or whatever her name is, she is without doubt the whore of Babylon. So many candidates. I thought that Kellyanne Conway might be the whore of Babylon. But now, you know, or that ogre, Huckabee. What was her name? Cross-Eye Huckabee. Anyway, do you know that the old Hans Christian Andersen, listen to this, the old Hans Christian Andersen, or was it the Brothers Grimm, fairy tale of the three billy goats gruff, and the ogre under the bridge. Okay, do you remember the three billy goats had to go across the bridge? And the ogre, do you know that this is a fact now? I've read it in page 6. That ogre and Sarah Huckabee have never been seen at the same cocktail party at the same time.
That is proof enough for me right there. That is the proof enough for me.
And here's cheers.
Those simultaneous celebrities are always fascinating. Peggy Lee and Telly Savalas. You never saw Peggy Lee and Telly Savalas at the same cocktail party at the same time.
No.
Telly Savalas had a snap in the middle of his forehead, and he just popped her wig on and put a beauty mark on, and then he was Peggy Lee. Then he would take it all off, and then he would be Telly Savalas again. Sarah Huckabee is the ogre under the bridge for the three Billy Goat Gruff.
Billy Gross Gruff.
She is fit only to be killed with a club. You know, I mean, it's like, what are you going to do with it? Anyway, back to I just have to say that I am terrified that the blue vote and that the liberal vote and the progressive vote and the Democratic vote got by this election by fingernail scrape. We scratch by it, for any Democrats to keep parading that, well, he lost by 3 million votes or whatever. 3 million votes. These 3 million votes is in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's two electoral votes. It's like you can't count on three. You can't count on 7 million votes. This country is still. We have blue voters who still don't vote, and they should be. ashamed.
Yeah.
Any blue voter or any disenfranchised brown, black, yellow, mm-hmm. or gay person, or mm-hmm. or straight woman, by the way, straight
right.
modern woman,
yes.
who's concerned about her reproductive rights, any person in that category that doesn't vote is the enemy. And then on the other side, you have, you know, these galvanized rioting thugs. And they're all that, as far as I'm concerned, the whole bunch of them, whether they showed up to riot or not. If they voted red, they're thugs. And that whole crowd, this country is hanging by a spider web, and it will be doing it again in 2 years.
It is. Right. And Ron's already.
And the Democrats
Ron's
are going to lose control in 2022, yeah.
He's afraid of that. But maybe not. Maybe something will happen that just outrage. I mean, if that little gold statue with the Rocky trunks on, doesn't
it? Well, I like Sybil. It's Rocky Kalot.
Oh, well, I've said too much. I've said way too much tonight, but I do want to reiterate that my pal Gwendolyn always, even when she acknowledges we hang by a spider web, she always says, you know, but things are going to get better. And I do believe that for every two steps we take backward, somehow we take one step forward and two step backward. But I once said that, fate seems to be a wheel, and it seems to be the wheel turns, you know, or you could say it's a pendulum. It's swinging back and forth. And
right.
that means that sometimes
yeah,
it swings forward, sometimes. But this is the one thing I do want to say with that metaphor. Whatever it is, whether it's a pendulum swinging back and forth or a wheel that's turning and turning and turning, the bottom line is whatever that device is, it's on a train. And the train may be moving very slowly down the track, almost imperceptibly. But that pendulum swinging back and forth, is on a boxcar on a train. And that train is creeping forward in evolution. And that
right.
wheel that's spinning around
yeah.
and around and around, it is spinning around, and it's good and it's bad and it's this left and right, blah, blah, blah. But it is on a boxcar on an inexorable train that is moving sometimes only an inch at a time forward, because it really is true. The world only does spin forward. And
right.
all we need to do is, like I said last time I called in, look at any of those fucking shredded wheat commercials. There's
mm-hmm.
gay couples and biracial couples. You can't look at any car commercial that doesn't have a biracial couple with their biracial child getting into a Chevy or a Ford. It's everywhere, and that is inexorable, and that is not the province of the red voter. Those
no.
people
no.
at CPAC are not and even though there are black people sitting there, shame on them,
right.
them. Even though Judge Thomas is still in the Supreme Court, even though you have all Ben Carson. Oh, my God. Talk about something that should have been taken to bite away and put to sleep years ago. Years ago. I don't care that he is a brilliant brain surgeon. He is absolutely extraneous.
How?
Clearly, he has, there's no brain cells left. So the bottom line is that even though there are black people sitting in that CPAC thing, even though, God forbid, there are gay people sitting in that CPAC convention,
mm-hmm.
they are secretly not welcome there. Their friends, shaking their hands, are looking at them thinking, you're a fag, you're a nigger, you're a spick,
right,
you're a
right,
chink.
Right.
You're a... Those people are filled with the bigotry that is the one thing. White, hetero, and women are second-class citizens, and that's it. And
they
the good news
way.
Is that the world is spinning forward. High school students are more likely to go to a prom where there are biracial prom kids in junior high school
right.
and high school
right.
than they are not. You have to go to Butt Poke, Idaho to find an all-white school with all-white prom kids. Most
right.
19-year-old kids don't know whether they're dating a black kid or a white kid. Most
mm-hmm.
most high school kids don't know that any more than we would know whether we were dating a blue-eyed or a brown-eyed person at this point. You can start having a crush on someone and say, oh, yeah, I just realized Carl has green eyes. I hadn't thought
mm-hmm.
of that. That's so funny. These kids are saying, I have a crush on Lionel. Oh, that's wonderful, darling. Does he want to come for dinner? Yeah, bring him for dinner this week. And he walks in the door, and the parents look at each other and go, oh, how interesting. Stacy brought home a black guy. Oh,
mm-hmm.
that's cool. What can I get you to drink? You know, that's where the world
it's
is.
True.
And that CPAC
it's
convention
true. Is out
yeah.
of sync. It's out
yeah.
of sync. It's well, true.
Well, Mummy
I'll
is an Aquarius, that. And I was born in the year of the dragon. And we do, for all our problems and all our bad things, we also are forward thinkers. Galileo, Abraham Lincoln. You know,
right.
we Aquarians are people who see things ahead of time. We pay the consequences. You know, Lincoln, Galileo.
Mm-hmm.
We pay the consequences, but
right.
we usually end up being right 50 years after we're dead. So people say, oh, you know, that was really a good idea. Or people take credit for it. Other people take credit for our ideas. Or if they
Nikola
give us credit,
Tesla.
We're long dead. And then they say, oh, yeah, that was really a good idea. Where is Abraham? Like, oh, okay. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play? I mean, it's like,
that's right.
you know.
Yeah, that's a common
so I believe that
Gwendolyn
is right. High school kids, you watch them and they're not just in Parkland, you know, or Sandy Hook kids.
Mm-hmm.
They
right,
are kids
right.
everywhere are beginning to say to their stupid three-toothed hillbilly parents, Mom, I'm sorry you don't like Lionel, but I really like him. And and we're going to the same college and I'm going to date him after we graduate from high school.
Mm-hmm.
So you and Dad can go fuck yourselves. There you go. Okay, bye-bye.
We got 2 minutes left. I just want to point that out. So we have to
Sorry.
Say goodbye.
Yes. You go
All
ahead.
Right. Okay. Gwen, take over.
Well, I do apologize to the audience because I'm basically a little bit sick. I've got a bad cold. But
I'm sorry.
I want to remember to give everybody a chance to say where to find them, please. Ron?
Okay, I'm of course at Twitter under Politist. I'm also on Facebook under my name and the Progressive Professor, and also my book, Assassination Threats to the American Presidency. And I'm also at HistoryNewsNetwork.org under my blog, Ronald L. Fineman.
And for me, it's Minds, MINDS, and Times, TIMES, of F. Wayne Johnson on blog. That's where you'll
Thank
find
you.
The stories of my hour-long conversation with Jack Kemp, warning him about accepting the white supremacist into the room. Are we done?
We're
it's all yours, Gwen.
And Sybil, Mummy, where can we find you tomorrow?
You can find me in any alleyway in a Madame Defarge outfit with a pitchfork and a torch.
Well, bravo.
And at 8 p.m., you can find her at Come Now, Don't Sulk, here on the Here Be Not Monsters Network. We'll be back with you. And The laughter is worth the healing it brings. So thank you, Mommy. And thank you, Ron, for bringing up the positive aspects of what you said.
I always try to be positive. Back. Thank you very much.
I was going to say, it is needed. We need to think positive.
And I will pat myself on the back for being the loudmouth liberal bitch in the beginning of this episode. So.
Well, love you all.
You got to do that job.
Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
Thanks.
And that's our show for this week. And we're in the red, so thank you very much for
listening.
Good night,
all.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.